You know, God is funny. Amanda, thank you for taking that take on that scripture. Because yesterday, I had drafted the sermon on Gideon several weeks ago. And yesterday I was putting the finishing touches on it, and God said no. Not Gideon. And I hate it when God does that. And God said, I need you to speak on something else. And what a surprise that was for me. And choir, what a beautiful anthem to lead into this. So today instead, our scripture comes to us from Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 through 14. I'm using the New Revised Standard Version. Take out your phone if you have a Bible app on it. Use a Bible you brought with you. Look out at the screen, whichever makes you happy, as we go to just a couple of verses from Matthew. Then little children were being brought to him in order that he might lay hands on them and pray. The disciples spoke sternly to those who brought them. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs. For the word of God in scripture, for the word of God in us, for the word of God with us. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. God, I don't know what you're up to, but you're up to something. So come right now in this place and fill our hearts and our minds with your Holy Spirit. Let us see you, hear you, and feel you. And Lord, get me out of the way. Just get me out of the way, God, because we need you more than anything else. We need you to come right now into this place and anoint us with your peace that passes all human understanding. We need you to come and bind our wounds. We need you to come and bring unity. We need you to come and grant us your grace and empower us that we may leave this place spreading the great good news that your love is unconditional. Speak, Lord. Speak, our Lord, for we, your children, are listening. And let the church say, amen. So today, our topic is becoming children again. It is a season for children, is it not? Children's eyes begin to dance as they see the catalogs coming in the mail, as they see the flyers in what was the most humongous newspaper I've ever seen, right? And they begin to see all the decorations. And soon we'll get out the Advent calendars with the little treats behind the days. And it's just a season for children, or it should be, right? When they begin to anticipate that day of great consumerism, right? But it's a time in which childhood should be front and center, which family becomes paramount. It's a day and a season in which we can become children again, or at least we should. But let us not be forgetful of those children whom, for this season, is not all Santa Claus and bells and packages under a tree. Let us take this moment to teach our children what is truly important. So we come to this scripture where the children were being brought to Jesus and the disciples, being adults, once again discounted the children. And they said, go away, little children. You're not as important as we adults. That's what they were saying. You know? Go away. Don't bother the master. But Jesus was always looking after the children. He was always taking time with children. And he always used the children to teach us pig-headed, stubborn, willful, all-important adults a lesson. And he says this, "For it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs." He always said that children were more important. There was something about children that made them close to the kingdom. It was something about children he wanted us to know. He wanted us to become childlike, not childish. Unfortunately, many of us become childish, do we not? We become petty. We become selfish. But he wanted us to understand that in order to inherit the kingdom, we needed to become childlike. But what does it mean? What does it mean for us to become childlike again? We who are old and set in our ways. We who think we know everything. We who feel like we can't break out of our boxes. What does it mean to become childlike again? One of the things I think it means is that we accept the wonder of God. That we understand that God is so big and magic, majestic, and full of awe and wonder. Psalm 139 says, "You hem me in behind and before and lay hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it." Too often we make God small and human. We tend to put God as pocket size, as though we can know all about God. Folks, God is totally unknowable. God is bigger than all of our imaginations put together. We need to stand before God in awe of all of God's truly amazing grace. We need to stand before God realizing that there is no way that we can truly understand the depth of God. We need to stand there saying, "You are God. You are universe. You are everything." And we tend to put God down on our terms. We tend to put God small. And I don't want a God that's small. I want a God that's big. I want a God that's expansive. I want a God that is a creative God. I want a God that I can stand there and wonder and to worship. A God that is so massive that I cannot understand. But we humans like to try to understand everything, don't we? We like to explain God. We like to say that because of this, that happens. We tried to put God in a box, and God cannot be placed in any box that I know. We need to regain the wonder of God and just stand before God and allow God's mercy and grace to cover us. Just to stand silent before God, to dance before God as David did, to stand in wonder and awe of God. Richard Rohr, which is one of my favorite authors, says this, "If we are to believe Jesus, nothing is more dangerous than people who presume they already see. God can most easily be lost by being thought found." In other words, when we think we know everything about God, that is when we have lost God. When we think we see everything there is to see about God, then we've lost God. When we think we've comprehended all there is about God, then we've comprehended none of God. We need to realize that God is God, and God is more than we are humanly capable of understanding. We need to accept the wonder of God. Secondly, I think in order to become like children again, we need to put relationships first. Healthy relationships, caring relationships are essential to human development. When infants and young children are denied healthy relationships, they suffer not only in their early development, but throughout their lives. 1 Thessalonians says, "See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." We are not meant to be isolated islands. We were created to be in relationships, healthy relationships, relationships of mutual affection, relationships that help us grow. Yet something happens to us in our life. We begin to think that we are isolated. The Marlboro Man effect is what I think of. That we can go it alone. That we are just out here on our own. But children know that it's best to hold hands when you cross the street. That it's best to share cookies and milk. Children know that it's better to play together than alone. Watch little kids around 3 and 4. They'll gravitate toward each other because they know that it's better to play together, to be together. We need relationships before we need titles, before we need money, before we need possessions. And so often as we grow older, we kind of put things in the reverse order, do we not? Do we not put things and work and status before relationships? And before too long, our relationships become dried and dusty and broken. Something that children can teach us about how to be childlike again is to love without judgment. Just to love. I love the way the Message translation puts the last verse of 1 Corinthians 13. It says, "But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to lead us toward that consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly, and best of the three is love." God is love. God is pure love. God is a love of unconditional. And yet we tend to make it limited. We tend to make it conditional. We tend to use it as a power play. We tend to use it as a quid pro quo. If you love me, then you do what I want you to do. But true unconditional love is a love that doesn't judge. It is a love that loves no matter what. It is a love that isn't coercive. It is a love that says, "I love you no matter what." It is a love that says, "I feel differently about this topic, but I'm going to stay in relationship with you." It is a love that does not try to correct someone into fitting into my expectations for you. It is a love that is extravagant, and it's seeking understanding. Extravagant love does not judge because it does not attempt to own or control the person. Children tend to love just because. They tend to accept others as they are. They exhibit a godlike love, whereas we as adults tend to keep people away. If we're going to become childlike again, so that we may inherit the kingdom of God in this season in which love is personified in the babe of Bethlehem, we need to learn how to love without judgment. We need to learn how to love as God loves us. So I have some questions for us. As we prepare for the advent of Christ, next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. How will we recapture the wonder and awe of God? How are we going to make God bigger than ourselves? Bigger than all of the universe? How are we going to understand that we stand before a mighty God? And what relationships in our lives need mending? Is there someone you need to seek forgiveness from or offer forgiveness to? And how are we going to demonstrate extravagant love to our community, to the community here in the Bend and Gallatin and Hendersonville? Extravagant love, non-conditional love. Love that says, "I am here and I accept you just the way you are." Love that's willing to go the extra mile. Love that is in the same manner in which Christ has loved us. As we prepare for this season of the coming of Christ, may we become childlike again. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.